Hello, I'm Theo. Welcome to a poorly informed, slightly more informed episode. In light of the sheer scale of recent events, I thought it was worth doing another podcast episode updating Brexit, covering everything that's happened up until now, and giving you a sharp update on the European elections, which are happening very, very, very soon. Back in January, I did an episode, Theo Does Brexit, and that's a good place, if you've not listened to that, to learn about the underlying causes of Brexit, to understand the basics. I won't be explaining terms in this episode like Article 50, soft Brexit, hard Brexit, withdrawal agreement, things like that. So if you're not familiar with those terms or basic Brexit ideas, check that out first and come back here. But it's great to be back with you guys. It's awesome that you're listening in. So I hope you enjoy the episode, you learn something. And of course, as I said, my name's Theo. This is Poorly Informed, Slightly More Informed, Theo Updates Brexit. One quick thing before we get started. Last time I said I was going to be neutral, and quite rightly I got a lot of flack because I wasn't neutral and I had quite a go at Brexiters and no deal Brexit. So this time I will certainly try to be fairer, a bit more balanced, and let you make up your own minds on whether you think Brexit's good or bad or whatever. So the episode, Theo Does Brexit, stopped at the 15th of January 2019, just after the government suffered its biggest ever defeat in the history of British democracy when Theresa May's withdrawal agreement was struck down by a staggering majority. A lot of things happened very quickly and are quite important to this narrative. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over the key events. I'm not going to try not to bore you, throw loads of statistics and quotes at you. This is just going to be my retelling of these events. Then we're going to talk a bit more about what happens next, what all these events kind of mean for British politics. But again, that will be fairly short. We'll try not to drag on. And you also sent in a few questions as well, so I'll be answering a few of those, which also link in quite nicely with the European elections, which I'll talk about at the end. So, government has suffered the biggest defeat in electoral history. Where do you go from there? Well, Jeremy Corbyn, leader of the opposition, that same evening declared a no-confidence vote in Theresa May and her government. The next day, that was voted on by MPs. Theresa May only won by 19 votes, which is pretty alarmingly close for her. However, that means there won't be another no-confidence vote for some time, so she cannot be ousted by the rest of Parliament. But 19 votes showed that she was sitting on a very slim cushion. She was running quite close to the wire. Something was going to have to change. Then on the 18th of February, after the government tried to pass a series of plans to support its Brexit plans, three Conservative MPs and seven Labour MPs broke away to form the independent group, which is now Change UK, a political party running in the European elections, showing the level of dissatisfaction within Labour at anti-Semitism and within the Conservatives at Theresa May's hard Brexit stance. Then, the 25th of February, Labour said, "We will back a second referendum if we cannot get our own plan through Parliament." Guess what? Didn't get its own plan through Parliament. Labour's Brexit policy is now that it supports a second referendum, but it's fairly half-hearted in carrying that out. It's a bit iffy, it's a bit on the fence in second referendum. So second referendum is basically, that's going to come up quite a few times in this episode, it's basically the idea that political parties such as the Liberal Democrats, the Greens, the Change UK and Labour want another referendum, either another referendum on Brexit itself or a vote on Theresa May's deal or whichever Brexit deal is passed, so that the British people have another say on events. Theresa May decides then to force through a very similar withdrawal agreement to the one that was defeated in the biggest government defeat in history in the mid-March, and loses that again by a significant majority. There's a bit of a pattern emerging here. People are not happy. The government is losing votes quite significantly. Something isn't going right in politics and parliament, which you may conclude, which is a fairly reasonable conclusion to come to. And then two important things happen over the next couple of days. One, Parliament votes to rule out a no-deal Brexit. Hopefully, just to give you a quick summary, ideally you've listened to the first episode and you'll be familiar with what no-deal Brexit is. This is the idea that many Conservatives sort of push for, that we leave the EU without a deal, without any trade agreement. We just leave and instead rely on the sort of trade deals we already have and stuff like that. So we would be very cut off from Europe. A lot of Conservatives and people on the right of the political spectrum want to just get out and have a no-deal Brexit, often considering the short-term losses would be worth long-term gains. But again, parties that want second referendum, Labour, Lib Dem, Greens, and most Conservatives more to the left of the party don't want a no-deal Brexit. But Parliament rules out a no-deal Brexit. While it's not legally binding, the government is now very unlikely to pursue a no-deal Brexit unless there is a change in leader at the top. More on that later. Then the day after that, MPs instruct the government to extend Article 50, so to give them more time, because the deadline, 29th of March, is only 14 days away, 15 days away, if they cannot get another deal through. And then, something unprecedented. I mean, this had been a story of unprecedented things happening from start to where we are now, but something really unique happens. Parliament votes to seize control of the Commons agenda. And basically it says, screw you, we are going to have our own votes today. We are going to implement the timetable and we are going to vote on a series of options of what we want Brexit to look like. So they do. 8 options go to Parliament. MPs vote on all 8 of them. The government hilariously tries to get its MPs to vote in certain ways on various bills and options, but fails. Ultimately, all 8 options are defeated. None of them get a majority. So you've got options like softer Brexit, second referendum, harder Brexit, customs union, staying closer to the EU. None of them get a majority. There is no clear decision among members of Parliament what they should do as regards Brexit. So the government doesn't have a clear idea and can't get its plan through Parliament. But also Parliament doesn't have a clear idea. And of course, what does Theresa May do amidst all the chaos? On the last day before Article 50 runs out, 29th of March 2019, she tries to get Parliament to vote again on her withdrawal agreement. She goes to Brussels and tries to get some changes made, but her Attorney General, the government's top lawyer, says there is nothing substantial that has changed in this document. Basically implying if you didn't vote for it before, there's no reason to vote for it now. The DUP, who the government relies on and who has a big say on how many Brexiter Tories vote, say we're not voting for this deal, and that basically means the government can no longer rely on 30 or 40 Tories to vote for the deal. And of course it is defeated by less than before, but it's still convincingly defeated. On the last day before Britain is due to leave the European Union, MPs are still throwing down a plan of exit. That shows how much they dislike the deal that Theresa May has negotiated. So, Theresa May, this vote earlier on Article 50, we now refer back to it. Parliament has instructed her, she's not got a deal through, so she has to extend Article 50. She goes to the EU, gets a temporary extension. She got a temporary extension previously, and she's now getting a permanent extension. She wants one for May, around this sort of time, or June, so that Britain doesn't have to take part in EU elections. Then the EU sort of send her away, and they have all night discussions or late evening discussions, and they say, we'll give you an extension, but we're going to do it until the 31st of October, which is 4 months, 5 months longer than she wants. That's going to take her all over summer. That means a lot more time for alternative deals to come up. That means a lot more time for Theresa May to be kicked out by her own party. And also it's on Halloween, so you can make all the Halloween jokes you want. Newspapers are going to have a field day. So, and that was on the 10th of April. Next thing to happen were the local elections. So, that's where we're at. And then the local elections come in to play. So, I'm just going to give you a second. If you want to catch up with all that, if you want to rewind and re-listen, go through all that again, because I went through it very quickly. Not much time for breathing space. So I'm just going to leave you a little pause. Okay, and then in the 2nd of May, there are local elections. Local elections, normally, what normally happens is the ruling party loses a lot of seats to the main opposition, especially if they're not doing very well. The ruling party isn't doing very well, people don't like it. Now, in these local elections, what happens, as predicted, the Conservatives lose over 1,200 local seats, not to be confused with MPs, it's a different thing, smaller. But Labour also lose about 80 seats. So people don't just hate the Conservative Party, they also aren't that keen on the Labour Party. Labour, this was should have been Labour's night. They should have made gains of 200, 300, 400 seats. But instead, they lost seats. And the big winners were the Liberal Democrats and the Greens, who made huge progress, getting around 1,000 seats between them. Theresa May, seeing all of these votes for Remain parties and parties that support second referendums, decides that this is an instruction to her to get on with Brexit and to do a better job of it. On the one hand, that doesn't really seem to be the case. Like, people voted for parties that want a softer Brexit or want a different deal, a better deal in their opinion. And yet she's saying that she needs to get on with a hard Brexit. But on the other hand, the Remain party didn't do much better than expected. They were expected to do well. The Lib Dems have always been a bit of a protest vote. And they didn't, interestingly, they didn't do proportionately better in areas that voted Remain in the referendum. So there didn't seem to be any correlation between people who voted Remain and voting for the Lib Dems and the Greens. So make of that what you will, if you understood what I was talking about. And all that time, the Conservatives and Labour have been trying to negotiate, trying to come up with a compromise plan they can ram through Parliament, because they can just gather enough supporters from both sides. But several days ago, talks broke down permanently. It looks like a negotiated compromise deal is not going to happen. And as a consequence, Theresa May, several days ago, announced that she will resign if her bill is passed in June. And now the Tory leaders are gathering, all the Tory MPs are gathering, stepping forward for leadership. They're announcing it openly. They're not even hiding it now. Boris Johnson announced quite openly he is going to run for leader, and he's the most popular Conservative Party candidate. So, leadership election for the Prime Minister in power. We've got no clear deal, no clear idea of what Parliament, the people, or the government wants from a deal. No clear indication on how people are voting and feeling. Every party is getting a weird mix of votes. And that's a situation as of the 21st of May. On the 23rd are the European elections, where every country in Europe votes on regional representatives that go to the European Parliament and make EU law. Big stuff. The Brexit Party is a powerful force on the political scene in the UK, set up by Nigel Farage back in January and launched in April. It's sweeping the UKIP and right-wing Conservative vote. Conservatives briefly dropped to fifth place in the polls after Brexit, Labour, Lib Dems and Greens, which is pretty humiliating. So the local elections will be a very interesting test on how people feel about the Conservative Party, what parties Britain wants representing it, and what policies it wants to support. As I said, Lib Dems, Greens, Change UK, kind of Labour, all pro Brexit, and more importantly, pro second referendum. Conservatives, anti second referendum. Because they kind of know that would not really go in their favour, whatever happens. But also, they believe that it would subvert the will of the people and subvert the result in 2016. And are they wrong? Well, maybe not. That's for you to decide. You know, should we follow the 2016 referendum? Or was it close enough that maybe we should go for another one? And of course, the UKIP and Brexit are adamant, no second referendum, no deal if we can't get a good one, let's just get on with it and leave. So, ooh, very quick. So, on the 23rd of May, if you are voting, if you've got opinion on second referendum, if you want second referendum, then Labour, Lib Dem, Green, Independent Group, Change, sorry. If you don't want second referendum, Conservatives, UKIP, Brexit, the four second referendum parties are all more Remain, all softer Brexit. The three non-second referendum parties are all pro-Brexit, hard Brexit, excuse me. Will we still get a no deal? Well, probably not. It would take something quite significant. It would take a significant victory from the Brexit Party or the Conservative Party to, and it would, a hard Brexit would have to be in power, which isn't a remote possibility, given that Theresa May will step down. Hard Brexit have to be in power in order to facilitate that, and even then, Parliament probably block it. No deal is very, very unlikely. Will Theresa May resign? Is another question one of you asked, and as illustrated, yes, she will. She's told the Conservative Party she will resign if her deal goes through in June. It probably won't go through. She'll possibly still resign anyway. She's under a huge amount of pressure to do so. Who to vote for in Europe on the 23rd of May? Well, in the European elections, your vote has more of an impact. The system is different to our normal general elections. Your vote is directly counted and leads it's proportional representation, which means the party gets however many seats as a percentage of the vote for it, if that makes sense, rather than just whoever has the most votes getting loads of seats. Or getting all the seats. So your vote will have an impact. If you're someone who wants to remain or wants a softer Brexit, then you're better off voting for the Liberal Democrats or the Greens or Change UK. If you're someone who wants a sort of firm Brexit, but you don't want to support a smaller party who are untested, then go for Labour. If you want a harder Brexit by an established party, than Conservatives. And if you want a really hard Brexit and you're not particularly concerned how that happens, then UKIP or the Brexit Party. But how would the Lib Dems, the Green Party, the Change UK, how would they achieve anything, right? They're small parties. You know, they might have made gains in local elections, but how are they actually going to achieve a better Brexit settlement? Well, that's a good question. It's a good question. But so far, their implicit policy has just been, we're going to make this happen simply by not shutting up about it and by making loads of, you know, creating protests and demonstrations. Like the day after the referendum in 2016, Tony Blair, ex-prime minister, said, let's go for a second referendum. And people laughed at him and people called him some very rude and vulgar terms. Yet, 2.5 years later, 800,000 plus marches in London later, it is now a serious option on the table. And so these parties are going to make change happen without needing to be in power, because they're just going to keep talking about it and keep pushing for it. Like with environmental policy, the Greens, simply by existing since the 80s, have forced every other party to have a climate change manifesto and to invest into renewable energy. They don't have to be in power to make change happen. And I think that's what we're going to see a lot of. I think these parties, I think the Liberal Democrats and the Greens particularly, will do well in the European elections. I think there's hope for them. And that could have an impact on Parliament, and that could have an impact on how the government approaches Brexit. But at the same time, our politics is so divided and polarised, and the Conservative right wing have enough power that I don't see that happening. But it would be nice if we could reach a compromise and reach something that everyone is happy with. But if this episode has taught us anything, it seems that a nice, easy solution is not on the cards. And it's like we're stuck up a dead end and then we've got out of the car and started taking it to bits. An easy way out there is not. And it's going to take something or some things quite significant and quite spectacular to forge a path ahead. So in these European elections, vote if you can. But stay up to date with all the latest Brexit knowledge. Hope this episode helped. It's been one of our slightly more informed episodes. We like doing these. They take a bit more work, but we know you guys appreciate them. You voted with your download buttons on our previous slightly more informed episodes. And we'll be following Brexit too. Let us know on the Twitter and on the Instagram what your thoughts are. We're still checking those occasionally. And we hope that whatever your Brexit wishes are, that they come true. But it doesn't look like we're getting out of this mess anytime soon. Bye-bye for now. Thank you for listening.